All right. Good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me. Beautiful Saturday, September 22nd. Pleased to be in studio Woody Lashman, my good friend, co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop. Woody, how we doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Anthony. Good to be here.
Yeah, everything's good in the busy summer for you, man. You guys were hopping all summer long. Good for you, but there's a lot of exciting things going on in the equipment world.
Yeah, it was a great season, busy season. I think golf is doing well. I'm excited to see some cool stuff in the fall, and
yeah,
just been a great season.
Yeah, well, you guys have been
a little tired,
and you guys, I've heard, that the golf and body in the city has been going really, really well for you there.
Yes, it sure has.
You guys have been there three days a week. You're there now.
Sonny's there 3 days a week.
Right.
He's going to be there 5 days a week come February 1st. So
full time.
Yeah. You know, it's the synergy there for us is just spectacular because
great.
You know we're all about trying to help someone play their best golf, right?
And sure.
There you have the team approach.
Mm-hmm.
For the membership. It's great, and for the outside consumer that wants to come and get club fit, we're there, and we can do what we do and tell people the truth and try and help them play better golf.
Well, I think a couple of things that I think that you've gone from 3 to 5 days to one, a credit to the type of people that you guys are, the type of guy that Sonny is. He's doing well there. I think it's just. I didn't think it was going to ever not work, but I think it's just proof is in the pudding that the fact that you guys are good people, and I think good things happen to good people.
Well, thanks. I mean Sonny is spectacular.
Yeah.
He does a great job. He's, it's just like me and Pete. His conscience leads the way, and he's got the conscience, but he has the knowledge.
Right, right.
And if you have those two components, you can help people play better golf.
Yep. Which means now he's going to make me go into the city to go get a putter fitting. I don't know. We have to. He may have to make some special trips.
He'll be around.
No, I know. No, that's good to hear. I'm glad that that things are great at the shop, and it's I think like I said, I think it's. I like when good things happen to good people. And speaking of good people, I'm looking forward to talking to an old friend of yours, Jean Bartholomew. She's been a legend around the Long Island Links for a long time. Played it recently in the Women's Senior Open, the inaugural Women's Senior Open. So that'll be a fun conversation. I know you've known her for a long time. She's good people.
Jean and I grew up together.
Yeah.
From kids. We lived 4 or 5 blocks away from each other.
Yeah.
And I've watched her play incredible golf her whole life. And she's going to be great to talk to.
Yep. So with that, let's go to our first break. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia and Woody Lashman. We'll catch you in 1 minute talking with Jean Bartholomew.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony, in studio, co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop, Woody Lashman, and on the line, Long Island legend Jean Bartholomew. How you doing this morning, Jean?
Good morning.
How's everything going this morning? Nice, beautiful day at Engineers, I'm sure?
That's nice. I'm not there yet.
Okay.
I'll see you pretty soon.
Well, Jean, I wanted to start with the...
Well, let's give people a little background, Jean. Oh,
all right. Okay. Okay.
County Hall of Fame. Played the LPGA Tour for 20 years.
Yep, yep.
She won the National Club Pro 4 times, Jean?
Yep.
Right?
4 times, yep.
What
else have I done?
She's a legend.
I did say legend from the Long Island Links legend. Well, no, but I mean, yeah, no, Woody's right,
legend
too.
Legend in Woody's mind. I had a very nice career, so.
Well, I really want to talk about the Chicago Golf Club and the inaugural. For someone who's been in the women's golf game for as long as you have, and, you know, there's always been this talk of, you know, women being the fastest growing segment and doing those stuff, but this for the inaugural, the USGA to go to the inaugural U.S. Senior Women's Open at Chicago Golf Club had to have been a pretty special occasion for you guys. Can you talk a little bit about that experience?
I think it was really cool to play in the first one. You know, we have how many players? I think 100, and the field was 120. So to be able to play in the first one, and Chicago Golf was amazing. The golf course, like I said, it was a combination of playing. If I could, I've never played Augusta, but it would be like Augusta, Piping Rock, Sleepy Hollow, Shinnecock, the Creek, all mixed together.
Right.
A little bit of the Creek, because it's a CB McDonald, but playing like square greens and just, you know, every green you could putt off. But I guess working at Engineers helped me a lot. I didn't realize having played on those greens the summer a lot, it wasn't as hard for me, where some girls are like, oh my God, I had 10 three putts. I'd be like, oh, really? I only had two. But it was cool. It was a cool experience. The history of being, you know, those are one of the first five golf courses in the country. So that was cool. And just being the first one and having all the Hall of Famers there, and, you know, watching Joanne Carner, you know, at the shooter age, and having to walk, you know, you forget that some of these gals haven't walked 18 holes in a long time, but they were going to make it around.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really hot. So it was pretty cool. Cool experience.
I love how old school Joanne Carner is. She's still smoking cigarettes. She's still ripping it down the fairway. It was just, you know, watching her was like watching those old photographs of Arnold Palmer, like with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. It's just kind of, I really enjoyed the images of her.
Yeah, she was cool. She actually helped me on the range after my horrible day. It was funny. We were hitting balls, and she's like, she walks up, and she's always with somebody I would go out of respect, you know, just if you needed a tip or something on a certain shot, you'd go up to Joanne, and she'd always be willing to give you a little pointer, but the way she did it was hilarious, you know. She's like, get over here, give me that club, you know. but very nice lady. So that was fun to, you know, just to be there with all those famous players, you know, and play pretty well. I had one bad day, which I just, you know, it was set up as an open. It wasn't very long, you know, which I get. They couldn't make it too long.
Right.
Because the age, the span of age.
Sure.
But, you know, it was still an open. I mean, you still could, you know, and there was more with the green set up and the pin positions and the firmness. I mean, your ball was running, you know, 100 yards sometimes on your tee shots if you hit it well. So, and it played like a link.
Sure.
So that was, it was tough, so.
Well, how was the vibe there? I know you guys, it was an open, but I feel like it had that little bit of that, you know, we've been here, done that, been there, done that kind of thing, feel to it?
I would say it was low-key.
Right.
But I don't think they realized, like, they only expected to have, like, 1,000 people a day watch, and they had a lot more people come as spectators than they thought, which is great.
Yeah.
And they also allowed the spectators to walk in the fairways with the players, which was...
Sure.
Which was really cool. So not on the tee box and not on the green, but you're walking down the fairway and people, you know, and I had some people, it's so weird, members from some of my students from the Creek showed up, some of my students from other clubs, you know, all of a sudden you're walking down the fairway, it's a couple of your students, some of my old housing where I used to stay with people at LPGA events, they
came.
Oh,
wow. Oh, that's tremendous.
It was near Chicago. So you're walking down the fairway with friends and, you know, people you knew, which is a little different. It's kind of, that's how they used to do the PGA Tour, I guess, back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, so that was fun.
Does that help affect your focus because you're walking in the fairway talking to people?
Not really. A little bit, but no, because they were very respectful. You know, it's not like they were right next to you. They'd stay back or to the side. And, you know, I'd say one time one guy was just like too close, so I felt like I was going to hit him in my backswing. But you know, and you know me, Woody, I got the look. The look was like, oh, I didn't have to say anything. But and it was a little bit of a low, low budget. Wasn't like, and that club, it's not a big clubhouse. It's kind of just one, it's like an old house. So there wasn't much as for hospitality and things like that. Of course, they had food and stuff, but it was what I would call like a low-key open, but very well done. And next year it's at Pine Needles, which I think I played two opens there, so that'll be, you know, that'll be fun to play there again. Mm-hmm. It's in May because it'll be too hot, I think, in the midsummer.
Right.
Well, I'm hoping for the USGA and for women's golf standpoint that it's something that sticks around, and you know, 20 years from now, you were talking about how, you know, you played in the original one.
Yeah, you hope. I think it's a shame for some of these gals that, you know, you've had a senior women's amateur for all these years, and you have a four ball, and you have all this other stuff, and you haven't had a women's senior am open. To me, that's kind of, it was a little disrespectful. They had to fight so hard to get it. The gals from the Legends Tour were meeting and pushing for years trying to get this to happen. So
do you think this will help the Legends Tour? The Legends Tour, if people don't know, by the way, that's the Ladies
Senior
Champions Tour.
Yeah. It could, and it's not an official event, but it counts as official money for the Legends. But like the Legends this year, we've had no event, like a couple of pro-ams, but no official events. So we lost basically Walgreens as a sponsor, was the sponsor of three of the events. We only had three events, and then you had the Open and the Senior LPGA. So in the process, I guess for next year, should have a couple more tournaments. So it's tough. All these girls have nowhere to play. Except for two pro-ams, you know, but
right.
So, they used to have 5, 6, 7 events, and since it's 45 and over. Since I was playing, it's gradually whittled down to, you know, almost nothing. So I played in Seattle, and I played in Boston last week. So these are one or two day, you know, they're nice paydays, but they're a pro-am. It's not an official event. So
right.
In October, the Legends. It was a Legends event, but now it's the LPGA Senior Championship. So that's coming up in a few weeks in French Lick. So that counts as an official event.
And you're playing?
Yes.
just so everyone knows.
Yeah, I know.
Are you caddying for old time's sake, Woody?
Yeah, Woody, you want to caddy? All you have to do is drive the cart on the Legends.
If I'm caddying, I'm caddying.
Yeah.
That's right.
I carry that staff bag around a bunch for her.
Oh, I know.
What about the state of ladies golf? So folks, Gene was on. You were on the board of the LPGA Tour when you were out there for a while,
uh-huh.
Correct?
Yes.
What do you think? You know, Anthony was saying earlier that you know, the women's golf is the largest growing segment of golf. What do you, as someone who's lived it and been in it, you know, what do you think of the state of ladies golf?
I think it depends on where you are and what kind of, I think there's a lot of women, girls, let's say juniors, or that LPGA, USGA girls golf is doing a great job around the country getting girls into golf and learning the game and passionate about it. But I think what's happening is the clubs, especially, you know, in the metro, in our area at least, and even in Florida, you know, there's not as many women playing. The older women are playing, but there's that demographic of working women between, you know, in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s that are working full time that are, you know, not getting out as much to play. And I think some of it is the, you know, the whole mentality of helicopter parents and driving their kids everywhere when they do have time off, and some of it is just I think we grew up in the culture of the parents going and playing golf, and they're not, they don't have that culture. The club I'm at, I'm trying to get a women's program. You know, they have women players and do clinics, but they're just, you know, they're not a big group, maybe 20, 30 women that play steadily. Where in Florida, you have much more. You have 100 women because they're all retired, right? So I think it depends on where you are. I think the young girls program is doing great. We're getting more girls, you know, thousands and thousands of young girls really into golf and at a young age through high school into college. And then it's, can we keep them going is the problem in my mind is, you know, and golf is so hard, right, Woody?
Yes, it sure is.
I think that's part of it. I think golf being difficult, some women, golfers in general, they get frustrated and they give up because they think it's too hard.
That's interesting.
That's where I come in and Woody comes in, you know, try to get them the right equipment that, you know, they might be doing hand-me-down old men's clubs or get them, start them with, you know, a Get Golf Ready program. I find that works a lot to ease people into golf without them getting really frustrated giving up. I mean, we didn't give up.
you know, Gene, one of my frustrations when I see that is I see a lot of the young ladies. I had a young lady come in the other day, and she's just, I don't know, late 20s. And, you know, her she's playing with quote-unquote ladies' golf clubs, and she's swinging her driver like 90 miles an hour, and she's wondering why she can't hit it, you know, straight. I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, we could, and her husband's like, well, I don't think equipment's really that important. I'm like, not that important. You know, do you see how she can hit the golf ball better? And, I mean, it was very frustrating to me because had, you know, this young lady been given the right equipment, she would enjoy the game so much more, yet, you know.
Yeah,
she,
that's crazy. And
she goes in the pro shop at her club, and they're like, okay, well, you know, you're a woman. Here's the lady set of golf clubs when, you know, first of all, no one should be treated that way, but she was just so much stronger and it's disappointing to me. I think, and that's a turnoff. If you're younger and you're treated
that's
like
true.
A second class citizen, it's a problem.
Well, you are though. You know that. I mean, the women. But it's changed. Some of the clubs still women can't play. I mean, and that was one thing I hate to say about Chicago Golf Club. I love the course. I'm a golf course historian. I love that. But talk about a club that is. There's no women members there. Women don't play there.
Right.
I thought it was ironic that the USGA picked that, but then when you see all the mistakes and fumbles and stuff that the USGA has done in the last few years, it fits in them perfectly. You know, I hate to say it, but pros are not big fans of the USGA right now. There's a lot just of some of the stuff they've done, especially in the women's, but they did to what's her name? Anna Nordqvist in Utah.
Lexi Thompson. Yeah, sure.
Lexi, and it's just like, guys, you gotta think before you act.
Yeah, they've
nobody brought it up, which is surprising. But I don't think people realize till they kind of research the history of Chicago Golf Club. Even though I love it because I love the golf.
Right.
Club.
Sure.
I don't think about things like that. I'm not like a big. I'm a women's rights person, but I'm not a like. Freak about it. I just, I like good golf courses.
Yeah, well, the USGA's had a tough run at this, sort of a little bit of the gang that can't shoot straight, you know, like Keystone.
They deserve every bit of criticism, but hopefully they're on the right track.
But we got it. Let's take a short break, but there's a couple of things that you brought up, you and Woody brought up, that I think it's important to people understand and just to touch upon. But let's take a last break here. More with Gene Bartholomew, listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Hi, I'm Dr. Frank Rossi of Cornell University. As the stewards of New York's golf courses, superintendents are dedicated to protecting our natural resources. In heavily developed areas like Long Island, golf courses offer large expanses of open space that provide environmental benefits, such as allowing water to infiltrate into the ground naturally and providing habitat for native species such as bees and butterflies. To help manage golf courses in harmony with the environment, the state's golf industry has established a comprehensive best management practices program to educate and serve as a resource for superintendents. For more information, see our website at nysgolfbmp.cals.cornell.edu.
Owning the latest and greatest golf equipment makes no difference if it's not fit perfectly for your game. At Mizuno, we create irons and woods for all skill level golfers, from our MP18 family, featuring three different models designed for the better player, to our JPX family, featuring three different models designed to give you distance and forgiveness. We have a model for everybody. Visit Pete's Golf Shop and get custom fit for a set of Mizunos today.
All right, you're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to have in studio Woody Lashin, and on the line is Long Island legend Gene Bartholomew.
Hall of Famer.
Suffolk County Hall of Famer.
Nassau County.
Well, I'm Nassau. I'm Suffolk guy. So I'm
actually, it might be Long Island
Hall. Is it Long Island Hall of Famer,
Gene?
Yeah.
One was Long Island. It was in Nassau County.
All right, Nassau County Hall of Famer. Gene, couple things. First of all, I thought Woody's story was really interesting about, that story in itself is so, it's like the sort of quintessential story of women in golf, right? Here's a woman, you know, we all talk about that the ball doesn't know how old you are, how young you are. We always say age, but we never say gender either. The ball doesn't know if you're a man or a woman, but then you also have this father, right, male figure telling this girl what's best for her, even though there's a professional fitter standing right there telling her what's best for her. It's sort of like the sort of quintessential story of women in golf.
I think it depends on the father or the knowledge of the other player, know what I'm saying? So if,
sure,
if her father or her husband is a good player, he would get it. But if it's somebody who's like, just, you know, so many people don't realize how important getting golf clubs fit for them. And they're the same kind of people who wouldn't take a lesson either. Don't you think, Woody?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
So they play golf their whole life and they just kind of grab whatever they get. It totally doesn't fit them and they're too heavy or too light, like you say. But you do have that scenario. And I think women especially, it's like, oh, you're a woman, you need women's clubs. And even people ask me, like, oh, so you play women's clubs? I'm all over. I'm like, no.
I play golf clubs. That's it.
You play golf clubs that are built for you. That's what you play.
Look at my hands. I can wear a men's small glove. Why would I have a club that's for a woman that's 5'4", who has a tiny little hand and has a club head speed of 50 miles an hour? I mean, you have to explain that stuff. I try not to lose my patience, but...
Well, you're a steward of the game. You can't lose your patience.
There's so many... You see these young athletic girls come out, and they do better hitting their dad's club than a woman's club. Like I say, now, maybe when they first... Even when they first grab a club, if it's like you say, if I'm 5'9", 5'10", and I grab the average lady's club is how much shorter, Woody?
Half inch to an inch. Depends on the manufacturer, but, you know.
And then grab that little grip, which feels like a pencil, that's going to be so uncomfortable. I think it's going to make them have a bad taste in their mouth right away. Like, oh, but this feels weird. Right? But I guess in tennis, you do the same thing. You got to find a racket. You know, when you first learn, you hit any racket. But then as you play and have more speed or depending on how hard you hit it,
I think
the bigger difference.
To me, the difference is that you pick up a tennis racket or even a bowling ball or something like that, you can use a lot more of your natural talent to get it done. Where in golf, it's so much harder to get that done when you have the wrong equipment, even with the natural talent.
That's true. I think about it when I had a hand-me-down set from my grandmother's family. I first started, and my shortest iron was a 9-iron, and I was playing like junior tournaments. We had two sets. My sister would get my mom's set, which had everything in it, and I would get the other set once in a while. And I'm like, I was hitting bunker shots with a 9-iron, and they had leather grips and stuff. And that was when I was very young. And all of a sudden, my dad was like, whoa, this kid is good. We need to get her some. And not that I got expensive clubs. We went to Herman's. Remember Herman's?
Yep.
Herman's, sure.
I loved Herman's.
I worked in a Herman's once.
You did?
I did.
And then getting, like, your first, I got a PS, like a pitching sand. I was like, what does that mean? You know, and then all of a sudden I could have a short game because I had something more lofted than a 9-iron. But yeah, I agree, Woody. I think having even some good players, I'm amazed that just by a club off the rack, and you've given them a lesson. Like, guys, it's good. Like, what are you doing? Your clubs are so upright for you. Did you ever have that check? What are you talking about, upright? You know, I'm like, oh my God, there are 8 handicaps, right?
Yep.
And they don't understand that they could be a threat, you know, if they actually took the time and got a few things tweaked by you guys. So I always try to tell my students how important it is to have their, especially the women, you know, you don't need to use a women's club. Here, try this men's senior shaft. You know, you have to, you have, this length is better for you. Oh, wow, I don't top it anymore. Oh, really? You know? Maybe because you don't have to stoop over so much to the ball or, you know, things like that.
Sure.
The thicker grip feels so much better, especially a lot of women have big hands, you know, and if you grab a lady's stock grip, unless you really like a thin grip, I mean, it feels like a pencil. Very
right.
Hard to get a good grip if the grip doesn't fit.
Well, you know what's very interesting too, Gene? I see a lot of ladies who aren't that tall, but they have very long fingers, and they need a man's mid-size grip to get to hold the club properly.
Interesting.
And when you give them that grip, all of a sudden they're like, oh, I'm going to have to grab this thing and hold on super tight.
Right.
Amazing what happens.
Nail. I hate to say it. I mean, I can't stand it, but if you have your nails a little longer and you have a small grip, you're going to cut your, they cut themselves. The nails dig into their fingers, right?
Yep.
I encourage my, I hate to, I mean, to not have those super long nails because it just doesn't go with playing golf. I said, if you want to play golf, that's going to be a detriment. And if you want to be in the beauty pageant, then you can do
that's
it
a whole
winter.
Nother story.
No, I'm saying you can do it in the winter.
Well, Gene, we're just about out of time. I do want to introduce you to a new term. You mentioned the term helicopter parents, but now we have a new term, just so you know going forward. It's called the lawnmower parents, and that's the parents. Yeah, these are the parents that now want to mow the lawn in front of their children. So they're kind of paving the way, making sure that everything is perfect for them to walk down. So you may hear that term going down the road. So we're sort of replacing helicopter.
I was the lawn mowing child.
Exactly.
Me too, Gene. Me too.
I mean, that was part of your chores,
is
mow the lawn.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Right. So now the lawn mowing parent is now mowing the lawn for their child because they want everything perfect in front of them as they walk down the green grass that with the flowers and everything is perfect. So just wanted to let you know that you might encounter that term down the road since you mentioned the educational term of helicopter parents. But Gene,
thank you so much for having me.
No, it was a pleasure. You're always a pleasure to talk to. You're always so insightful and honest. And
we're gonna have to get you on again soon because we had a bunch of questions to ask.
I know.
That we never got to.
Yeah, I know. We got sidetracked, but I think that's that's part of what.
Yes, that was on our list to talk about.
Yeah.
That.
Well, we're gonna have to have him on the show as well, so maybe you could talk to him. But Gene, thank you. Hopefully you'll put in a good word for us to have him on the show.
I'll tell him next time he's in the shop.
All right.
I'll make him call
it. There you go. Gene, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day. All right. That was Hall of Famer, Long Island legend, Gene Bartholomew.
By the way, folks, if you want to take a lesson from her, she teaches at Engineers.
Engineers, you know. And I think the nice thing about having her on is you kind of hear, in this case, hear what you get. And and what you get is what you see, and what you see is what you get. And she's, who wouldn't want to take a lesson from her? Honest, right, straightforward.
We're friends from when we're kids. I know her. That's who she is. She's
no BS, just no like, BS. Hey, this is what you're doing wrong. Let's fix it, you know? And no
and she's
fluff.
There's no book, by the way. She's not pulling a book. Oh, you're supposed to be in this
Yeah. I like a person who talks with no fluff. All right. That's all for this week, folks. Thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure to have Woody on studio. And have a great week, folks. And make sure you go see Woody or Pete at Pete's Golf and plenty of other guys
Sonny
there.
Too.
And Sonny, too. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsese.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB. Seem like